Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Well, overnight, the largest protests in years erupted in the occupied West Bank over the offensive in the Gaza Strip. And today, Palestinian leaders have called for a day of anger in protest. Dan Williams is senior Reuters news correspondent. He's in the West Bank and he's on the line now. Dan, what was the response to that call for a day of anger?
Well, we've seen it. There were overnight demonstrations on a scale that I don't recall, at least in recent years. It seemed to recall the days of mass uprisings against Israel, a major checkpoint between Ramallah and Jerusalem, really surging with thousands of people who confronted Israeli troops. There were stones thrown, Molotov cocktails. Palestinian medics say at least one protester was shot dead by the soldiers. Scores wounded. Today, that spilled over further. There were concerns that in Jerusalem, which is the site of a major mosque, as well as Jewish and Christian sites, very important Jewish and Christian sites, that there would be violence there. Remember, it's the last Friday prayers of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. That did not happen, largely because of an Israeli police cordon, to the best of my knowledge. However, in the West Bank, there have been more killings, at least three Palestinians. Two, we're told, were killed by the Israeli military in more confrontations. And the third, according to witnesses, killed by an Israeli civilian, possibly a resident of a Jewish settlement nearby. So things are certainly unstable, and it seems that what we've been seeing at a very intense level taking place in Gaza may be spreading, albeit on a smaller scale, to the West Bank.
And what is public opinion now in Israel? The attack yesterday, the killing in Beit Hanun, has that made any difference to Israeli support for what their government is doing?
No. As your report noted, there was some dispute at first as to who was responsible for the shelling of the UN school. The picture has been cleared up somewhat today. What we're hearing from the army is it's more likely it was Israeli army fire. Israel says that was due to, first of all, it says it tried to evacuate the school, but Hamas didn't allow it to. And we know from earlier incidents that mass evacuation orders or notices issued by the Israelis ahead of attacks in specific residential areas were countered by Hamas authorities in Gaza, who instructed residents to stay put. The army also says that there were gunmen in the school complex who fired on its troops, and the troops fired back. However, keep in mind, there was already a large civilian toll. According to the civilians, the vast majority of those killed so far, sorry, according to the Palestinians, the vast majority of those killed in Gaza so far were civilians. Israel disputes the exact ratio, though I think Israeli authorities would agree that over 50% have been civilians. But no, within Israel, there is strong backing for the offensive. There is a strong understanding that this was something Hamas brought on itself. Last week, Israel entered unilaterally a six-hour truce at the behest of Egypt, a power broker, which Hamas ignored and kept firing during those 6 hours. And Israel has repeatedly called for a de-escalation. It did not rush into this. So I think the sense among Israelis is this was a war of last resort that was necessary to protect not just southern communities from Palestinian rocket fire, but much of the country from rockets that have shown impressive range during this round of fighting.
And on the diplomatic front, Dan, what is happening? We're told that John Kerry may be on the verge of announcing some sort of ceasefire plan followed by talks. Do we know much more?
Well, I think he hopes that because he put out messages through his office yesterday that his patience was running thin. He came here at short notice. He seems to be very well-intentioned, but he hasn't had much luck in this part of the world nor elsewhere, actually. And I think he thought he might be the one to bring the breakthrough. One of the things complicating those efforts is the fact that one of the parties in this conflict, Hamas, has no direct contacts with the United States, nor with Israel, nor with the European Union. It's considered by all three a terrorist organization. So as Kerry is here, he needs to lean on regional proxies, Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, and Abbas, the U.S.-backed Palestinian president, as his own intermediaries, as he serves as mediator between Hamas and Israel. So that's made things a bit awkward. And the other awkwardness of this is that both sides have evinced openness to a truce. They're talking about a, quote, humanitarian truce of 7 days, during which aid will be allowed in, casualties will be recovered. However, they both have their own terms attached, which are very hard to reconcile. Hamas wants guarantees that the Israeli-Egyptian closure of Gaza will be lifted. It wants immediate action to that effect. That is extremely unlikely to happen because both Israel and Egypt consider Hamas very pressing security threats. Israel wants, in the framework of any ceasefire, the right to continue using its ground forces in Gaza to dig up a warren of cross-border tunnels dug by Hamas and used to very impressive effect by Hamas during this this war for cross-border infiltrations, deadly cross-border infiltrations, which Israel worries could be repeated during peacetime. So the Israelis say they'll need at least a week for that. The big question is, would the Palestinians, even if they were to enter a truce without an immediate easing of the Gaza blockade, would they agree under a truce for Israeli ground troops to continue working in the Gaza Strip? Because obviously any Palestinian shooting at those troops would likely cause the entire truce to unravel. So it's a very hard deal to put together.
It is. Do you get a sense that an end is in any way in sight, or are people there talking about the beginning of a third intifada?
I think third intifada is a long way away. The intifada, by definition, is a popular uprising. The West Bank, despite the bloodshed yesterday and today, it enjoys a measure of security and a measure of economic stability that I imagine would be the envy of much of the Middle East nowadays. Also, Abbas, the U.S.-backed Palestinian president who holds sway there, works quite hard to coordinate with Israel on security. Whereas what's going on in Hamas is a war. It's well past popular uprising. Now, the objective, the hope regarding the truce is that it can be launched in time for Eid al-Fitr, which on Monday or Tuesday is the major Muslim festival marking the end of Ramadan, which I mentioned earlier. These festivals have traditionally been a time for goodwill gestures, for acts of reconciliation. So I think there's some hope that Hamas, an Islamist group, given the really painful toll on Gaza, will think that this might be an opportunity to back down and see if it can, in ongoing negotiations after a truce, improve its own position in the Gaza Strip.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Dan Williams, senior Reuters news correspondent, who is joining us live from the West Bank.